It's time for Twig This Week in Google, a Google Glass edition. Yes, all three of us will be wearing glass. We'll see how long that lasts. Maybe even we'll do a live hangout. And, of course, the latest Google news, including the closing of Google Reader. It's all coming up next on Twig.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twig.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly, CacheFly.com.
This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 205, recorded July 3rd, 2013. There is no Mauve. This Week in Google is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create a professional website, blog, portfolio, or online store. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase on new accounts, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code TWIG7. It's time for Twig This Week in Google, the all-glass edition. I'm Leo Laporte, joined by Gina Trapani wearing her beige glasses.
I think it's shale. It's gray.
Shale.
Gray. Yeah. Is it slate?
Slate. She's from smarterwear.org, founding editor at Lifehacker. Hi, Gina.
Taupe.
How's it going?
And from Brussels, Belgium, Mr. Black Glass, Jeff Jarvis. How are you, Jeffrey?
Tired, but otherwise fine.
Is it late?
It is 10:30, but I got 4 hours sleep last night, and I have an early flight to Rome in the morning.
Oh, so well, we'll make this short.
No, it's fine. I'm fine, but I'm going to be...
So could we do, all three of us do a hangout, and then people could see it from our point of view, or should I just do a hangout and have you go in it, or what should we do?
Well, we could do that.
Jeff can't get online because he's in Belgium.
I can't.
Yeah. Glass does not work in Belgium.
Let me go ahead and host it.
Well, it would work, but it would cost $6,000.
I'm just kidding. Of course it works. So what should I do?
Just wait for my invite.
Okay, Glass. How would an invite come into this, though?
Oh, yeah. I wonder if the invite's going to come in.
Oh. I don't even know what I can do.
When we did it, Chad, I actually started it with you.
Oh. How do you start a hangout?
You'd say...
start a hangout.
I think it's hang out with.
Okay, Glass. Hang out with... who? Chad?
Yeah,
but it has to be somebody in your address book, right? I don't think you got it hangouts on here because I don't even see hangouts.
Or maybe it's make a video call. Too.
Okay, Glass. All I have is Google take a picture. Oh. Oh, I don't want these on. Okay. Hi there, everybody. Good to see you again. these are Jason Howell's glasses, obviously. I don't have glass, nor am I having a seizure, though it might look as if I am.
Video call. I guess that's hangout.
Okay, Glass. Video call? It's not one of the phrases that's on here. I only have...
Oh, we have the versions. You're running XE6, and I'm running
picture,
XE7.
Record a video. Oh, it hurt me.
You also have to go to the web page, and enable certain functions.
Now I'm recording a video. Oh, crap. 10 seconds. Thank goodness. Now I know why there's a limit.
Gina, don't you have to go to the My Glass page and enable that function?
You might. See, I've got make a video call, too. Chad Johnson. And then Chad, that probably sent you a hangout invite.
Okay, so. NSA. No, it doesn't understand that. All right, I'm taking these off, but that was fun.
Okay, good.
I feel a little cross-eyed. Do you feel a little cross-eyed when you take yours off, Gina?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. Oh, see, we did.
So, but we're...
Okay, so I can see you, Chad. I can see you in my glass. Hello, can you see what I see?
Not quite yet.
So there's a rumor. Oh, okay.
Right
here now, Jason's going to do it. And then you can bring it back.
Yeah,
but I think you have to update yours, right? Have you done a hangout on that?
Oh, then it would show up on there that you've been invited? I see.
I can totally see you, Chad. I don't know why mine's not sending video.
We should point out that this is a very beta product. It was never intended to be anywhere outside. It's a developer tool.
And that is exactly the key. If you're a developer, that's who should have these things now, because you can start to write things for it. Otherwise, to use them, limited.
They did seed them to a lot of people, you know, in the Twitter Hangout, you know, Google Plus thing. You know,
and I'm one of them.
If I had glass, and it wasn't like I will develop software for it. Some of it was, you know, I'll change the world.
And the curiosity factor, you know, Scoble finds this all the time. I'm at a conference today in Belgium, a World Journalism Educators Congress, and people are standing in line to put them on. And they're thrilled when they can say, okay, Glass, and the thing listens to them. That's really the key.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is saying, giving it a command and having it do something is what's thrilling people.
Yes. Talking to Glass.
Apart from the keyboard. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll work on it. We'll play with it. I had said I thought it'd be fun if we did this last week, and we're trying.
I left the Hangout because I could double hear everything.
I heard it too. It was coming back, yeah.
Yeah, it was coming back, yeah.
So this is Jason's glass right now.
Looking. Okay, well, bring it over here, and I'll wear it. And then can you invite the public to that?
Yeah, Gina, if you can rejoin, because I'll mute myself. I should have done that from the very beginning.
Oh, that's
sorry
where
about
the
that.
Echo was?
Yeah, it was my fault.
So now this is what I'm seeing. Uh-oh. Oh, that's...
Sorry, that was me inviting Gina again.
Okay. This is cool. This is cool. So this would be something, and then can we make it public so the people...
Well...
It says Gina Trapani's in the Hangout.
Okay, so
look.
I just got your invite.
That's my view you're looking at right now.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I have to say the bone conduction does work really well. It sounds like I have a speaker... I'm kind of shocked that you can't hear it.
For some reason, I'm not sending video. I'm in. I can see your view, Leo. That's awesome.
Isn't that wild? There goes Ozzy.
Look at Ozzy. I don't know why mine isn't sending video. I have to tell you, my video would be really boring. It's just my screen in front of a, you know, window. That's a cool view.
Yeah, you see our nice little family here visiting from Sacramento.
Wave, folks. Wave.
Hi.
That's what people do on TV, don't you know?
Let's see if there's anybody outside the window. Oh, my God, it's Jeff Jarvis. The funny thing is you can't see what other people are seeing. I can only see Chad, for instance. He's the other person in the Hangout. So I can't see what you're seeing.
All right.
Yeah. But I have a monitor, so I can look out of the corner of my eye and see what you're seeing. All right. Well, let's just make this public, and if people want to see what I see, I don't know why they would. The view this way is much better than the view that way. We got the lights, the cameras, and all right. If you think this is ungainly, you can apply now to get the 42-pound 15 camera backpack for a loner.
Good maybe transition, boss.
It's called the Trekker. It's one of the pieces of gear Google uses for street view imagery. And it was the one that you perhaps saw going through the Grand Canyon. It's a 42-pound backpack that lets you access areas where bulkier camera rigs can't navigate. The Trekker is operated by an Android device, consists of 15 lenses angled in different directions so they can be stitched. Chad, you left the Hangout.
So we can't make it public because Gina
made it. Oh, you
have
to make a new one?
Yeah.
Why don't you make a new one?
We'll do.
And we'll make it public.
We'll do.
As the operator walks, photos are taken every 2.5 seconds. So in the application, you have to say why you would want to take a journey or take it on your journey. And do you have permission?
Okay. I make a prediction right here and now. Maybe it's not a prediction. It's already happened. Scoble has already applied.
I'm applying right now. Leo Laporte. Where would I like to take it? My organization is TWIT. Okay, email. There's my email. Country where this would take place. Oh, Oh, I should take, where should I take it? What country?
Where's your next big trip?
I'm going to Venice in a couple of months.
Your best bet is going to be if you have access to a place that's that,
like
that
the Galapagos or somewhere nobody can go, right?
Yeah.
Actually, they've already done that.
But even
how do I answer this? Do I tap it?
So I just send him in a Hangout request for those who try
to figure that one out.
Join Hangout. Join Hangout. Peacock.
Just tap it. Just tap it. Okay, you're back. You're back. Okay, now let's make this public. Now you are going to hear anyone who jumps in this Hangout.
From this. That's all right. I don't care. I can
there's
live
no
with
and there's no volume control.
That's all right. I can live with that.
Oh, son of a B. the video can't be made public after it has started.
Okay, so you have to do it beforehand.
Apparently, and then I'll invite you separately.
Yeah, so start your own public Hangout and do it on live, right? Do it the Hangouts live.
Okay. I don't know if you can make those public, but
all right,
perhaps
whatever.
You can. Okay.
Help us plan for import export issues for the equipment. Describe your interest in the Google Street View Trekker and your proposed trek.
Who wants to carry a 42-pound backpack if they're going trekking in some place, you know, so exotic and sort of restricted? I mean, I get like that you want to contribute to Street View and to the world's sort of access, or at least visual access to an area. But at the same time, like, it's a commitment, you know, that you can't carry anything else.
I think Sean Parker should have worn it at his wedding.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Poor Sean Parker.
I felt bad for him. I don't think he did anything
so
wrong.
Misunderstood. So
he was misunderstood. Just misunderstood. So he had an elven wedding because he and his wife were big fans of The Hobbit or something. And so they took over a public campground, an asphalt-paved public campground, and groomed it to look like an elven wood. I know where it is because I've stayed there. In fact, I had my honeymoon there 20 years ago at Ventana. It's a beautiful place. And then with unbeknownst to him, Ventana had illegally been keeping the campground private. Actually, it was this county of Monterey had been keeping the campground private because it had a sewage problem. So nothing that the Parkers did at their wedding was in any way jeopardizing the coast of California, the redwood forest, or anything else. It was a Hollywood set, but he got treated like a pariah for it.
Yeah, they did rake him over the coals for that. He got treated like the rich guy who didn't care.
Right.
Right.
It's not good to be rich in this country. It's not good to be famous in any way. We prop you up, we put you on a pedestal, and then we like take one of those bats they use to destroy pinatas, and you whack at it and whack at it till you're dead.
Or here's another way. Life becomes a game of Jenga.
Yeah, exactly. Tower. Whoa.
We'll put you up. Oh, we'll take another one. Take another one. Oh, there he goes.
Right. Best to stay out of the public eye if you are wealthy or successful, if you can. This is a good infographic from webpagefx.com. Mm-hmm. This is a history of Google acquisitions. I think every web page infographic should have a coffee cup with a stain at the top. I think it just adds something. Google's acquisition history. Here's Google Heaven. By the way, a new member of Google Heaven as of Monday. Google Reader. Aww. Did the world end? Aww. So what they've done is they've actually divided this up among different groups. So Android, you've got CleverSense, Motorola Mobility, PitPat, TalkBin, BlindType, ZettaWire, Anulux, SlabPixies, PeakStream, Skia, BufferBox. Jeez.
Now what I don't understand is how many of those things were put to good use and how many of those things were in the great tradition of Yahoo and AOL.
Right.
Bought and killed.
Well, I think Keyhole, Google Maps. I mean, that's what the satellite images come from.
Yeah, so those were good.
Great example. Good. I think Zagat, Google's done a great job integrating Zagat.
Well, there was a story we didn't talk about last week that the employees of Zagat were unhappy. But can you be surprised at that?
Well, are they out of work?
I think some of them were.
Yeah, that's probably why.
I always forget about Dodgeball.
That was the predecessor to Foursquare.
Yeah, predecessor to Foursquare, which is kind of cool. So Dens basically sold Dodgeball to Google. Google didn't support it. And then hopefully he came out of it with some cash and started Foursquare.
I think so.
Basically a rewrite of Dodgeball, right? I mean, early
It was
Dodgeball
a different
was sort of SMS-based.
Yes, it was
but
different.
Location.
What was possible.
And and did it become Latitude, or did it die because Latitude already existed?
No, it just died.
It just died. I wonder what's going to happen to Latitude when Waze comes around.
Yeah.
Mm. I think that those have different overlapping, but different jurisdictions.
Yes.
Google has spent a recorded total of $22 billion on acquisitions. And this is kind of interesting. The average age until a startup is successful, a little more than 4 years, almost five. Average years until Google acquired, 6 years. The youngest acquisition was less than a year old. That was Caltix. The oldest acquisition, Motorola, more than 80 years old.
That skews the average.
Yeah. Acquisitions by year, it's kind of a jaggy line. 2010 was the biggest, looks like the biggest year for acquisitions for Google. Well, I don't know what this is supposed to illustrate, but they've got Larry and Sergey dressed as ministers with a shepherd's crook.
It's the heaven-hell thing.
Oh, I get it. What does Google look for? What has Google learned? Two-thirds of the acquisitions have been successes. That sounds about right.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Versus my favorite acquisition story of the week, not to jump ahead, but Bebo.
What is Bebo?
Bebo was an early MySpace, an early social network out of the UK. It was bought by AOL for, was it $650 or $850
million? Wow.
And then AOL, Armstrong, when he came in, sold it for $10 million, and one of the founders just rebought it for $1
million. That Michael Burch aims to reinvent the site. It's lost most of its users since 2008. Well, it's probably worth $1 million. He sold it for $850 million. Founded it with his wife in 2005. Hey, it's $1 million, big deal. It's pocket change.
Yeah, exactly.
why not?
It's like buying a car and saying, I'm going to fix it up. Hey, Leo, I need you to leave the hangout you're in so that I can invite you to a new one. How do I do that? Low battery, charge soon.
That'll do it for you.
It seems stuck. People. You.
End hangout.
End hangout. Peacock. Oh. And now I'm seeing what I'm seeing. You. Goodbye. You've got mail. Hello. I give up. I can't. It's driving me. It's also hot.
Yeah, wow. It does get
hot.
Wow. Whew. Got a little brand on the side of my head now. Google Graveyard.
30 days, right? 30 days?
30 days what?
Return policy?
Yeah, you see, you got plenty of time to really mess with it and not lose a penny. I think 30 days is very generous. No,
it is.
They're offering me a charger cable. No. You could take the glass. Thank you. I've had enough.
That's
30 days, 30 minutes. I couldn't
hanging last from your head.
I actually, the customer service, as I was saying, was really good. They actually, a box showed up from Mountain View today. It was a glass branded like water bottle.
Oh, yeah. Those were the mystery boxes. So what were those?
Yeah. They're
water bottles?
Yeah, they're water bottles with the glass logo on them and just a little note that said, like, Dear Explorer, you know, here
Stay
you go.
Stay hydrated.
Stay hydrated, yeah, I guess.
Were they glass bottles?
No. they were metal. So I don't know.
Kind of missed a bet there, I'm just saying.
I feel like, I don't know, maybe they just had some extra swag left over. And
Hey, speaking of acquisitions, today Samsung bought BoxyBox.
Yeah.
That was the... originally, Boxy was, I thought, open source software that was a... enhancement of XBMC, the Xbox Media Center, open source software. They eventually decided to kill the software side and really focus on hardware. They sold the Boxy Box through D-Link. And Samsung apparently acquired them for something south of $30 million. I tell you, you know, I'm not sure what, I don't know. I love Avner Ronan, who was the founder of Boxy Box. I really thought a lot of them.
Avner was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've met him as well.
I'm happy for him. But they raised $28.5 million in funding. So Avner's going to be walking away with, I don't think he's going to walk away with anything. Because they said something less than $30 million. Samsung has acquired key talent and assets to help us improve the overall user experience across our connected devices. It was good software. Speaking of acquisitions. On the way home, you're going to Rome, right, Jeff?
Well, not on the way home. It's weirder than that. I'm flying to Rome tomorrow morning and back the same day. This is a sin of sins. I've never been to Rome in my life. I'm flying there in and out the same day to go to a Google Big Tent event with Google, with media people, all of whom will be speaking Italian, and I'll be listening to translations with headsets. And I'll do the panel. And then I looked at Google Maps. The venue is a 20-minute walk from the Colosseum. So I will at least walk to and go around the Colosseum and then go to the airport.
That sounds like fun.
Oh,
and I come back Belgium then late tomorrow night. Friday, I'm at this conference again. And then Saturday, I take the train to London for the Guardians Activate event next week.
So you can go see the site of Google's new London HQ.
I can go look at it if you like.
They spent $1 billion for the plot of land, and they've now put out renders of what it's going to look like. In fact, the total cost is expected to be well over $1.6 billion. It will be 3.5 football fields long, 11 stories tall, environmentally friendly. It's near King's Cross, St. Pancras Station.
Which is also where the Guardian is.
So you'll see
like
the hole
Times
in the ground.
It's like Times Square in its day. It's developing.
Wow. One side take up an entire side of King's Boulevard, which is a new road that links the station with Regent's Canal and Granary Square. It's pretty central, isn't it? Wow.
It actually is. Again, it's a neighborhood that was, not great. A lot of rail yards and that kind of stuff. But it's up and coming, and there's a canal there and other neat stuff. And so it'll be soon very, very neat.
Google wants a tax refund on the taxes it didn't spend. To add insult to injury, Google is suing the IRS for an $83.5 million refund because they wanted a deduction for a stock transaction in 2004 with AOL. The IRS disallowed the deduction, apparently in error. The lawyers found it, and they said, hey, you owe us $83.5 million. Actually, AOL is suing, saying it wants $4.6 million as well. Okay.
They can just sign the check over to the UK to try to shut them up.
This is one for you, Jeff. German minister. Germany's top security official says, hey, if you're worried about U.S. intelligence agencies, just stop using Google and Facebook. Actually, as it turns out, stop using faxes as well. Apparently, that's also insecure. Interior Minister Hans-Peter Friedrich told reporters in Berlin on Wednesday, whoever fears their communication is being intercepted in any way should use services that don't go through American servers. I can't actually say he's wrong on that, right?
I mean, well, you can't really argue with this, can you?
Well, now, hold on. Right. But hold on. Number one, why just say Google? There's a lot of services, right? Don't use AOL. Don't use AltaVista.
No, I think he said don't use American services of any kind.
Well, but then second, but hold on. The way that the spying has actually happened, and we need Steve in on this, is that going to Google is on warrant. What they're doing is eavesdropping, as Steve has described so eloquently and smartly, onto the actual fiber.
Right.
And they're doing that. And the internet, the way the internet works, right, things can go routed any which way all around.
Well, that's actually, I think, one of the real sore spots is even traffic that's not intended for the U.S. often goes through the U.S.
Bingo.
So you could be using a French service, but it happens to be routed through the U.S.
And let's not forget the Brits. We now know the Brits are doing this, too. So if it's going around Britain, you know, if it's going from Germany through Britain to France, boom, gotcha.
I'm just depressed. There's nowhere you can go.
So it's basically don't use the internet.
Don't use the internet.
I didn't follow your advice. I wrote a piece for The Guardian this week, but just saying that I think that even though it's somewhat symbolic that the service companies, not the internet service companies, but the service companies like Google and Facebook and such need to start encryption inside their networks and to the users just to bring some faith in the cloud and the network back. Because the truth is the government's not going to do anything. They're the ones who are the bad guys here. Legislatures aren't going to do anything. Courts aren't doing anything. And the ISPs, nobody's pushing the ISPs and questioning the ISPs and the bandwidth providers, but that's where the vulnerability is to the government spying. And so I think that there is a need and an opportunity for services like Google to say, we are actually your best protector, and here's what we're going to do about it. But.
Well, when you're at The Guardian, thank them for their Guardian Guide to Extradition, because I've been really looking through the list of places where there's nowhere you can go, by the way.
There isn't. It is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really isn't.
Yeah. It's basically, they've come down to three countries that would be perhaps okay: Bolivia, Venezuela, or Iceland.
I'd take Iceland.
I'd go to Iceland. Yeah, yeah.
Snowden said Iceland kind of from the beginning, didn't he?
He's requested asylum. Iceland has not responded. I think everybody's going, whoa, I don't know. I don't know. Wow. And see, I don't understand. Maybe in some ways he may have thrown himself on the sword, because if he really, I mean, he must have known that this was going to be the problem, and he could have done this like Deep Throat style, where he didn't reveal his identity or had a plan for disappearing from sight. But it didn't seem like he had either of those. And I'm thinking he felt like it would carry more weight if he said who he was and why he knew this. And yes, he really sacrificed himself because this was how he had to do it.
That's true. He also said that he wanted the leaks to be out first before his name was out, because he wanted the story about the leaks and about
not about him,
not about him,
right?
But he also, the big question early on, and he answered this in a chat at The Guardian: why didn't you just go straight to Iceland, fella?
Right.
And try it there. And the problem was that would have taken too many hop-over flights, and by then the NSA would have said, why is this guy going from here to there to there? And there were direct flights to Hong Kong. That's why you went there.
You know, you could fly Icelandic Airlines to Europe, and you get a free trip
not
to Iceland.
Not from Hawaii.
So he really felt like if he did anything untoward, he would have been busted before he could reveal this.
Yeah, I mean, didn't he have to get all of his travel pre-approved and all of that? I thought that was the issue. And so he felt like they would have gotten suspicious, or it would have been difficult for him to get clearance to Iceland.
He's obviously really smart, though. It seems like he should have prepared some escape. Or he just knows, hey, I'm going to go to jail. I'm going to fight this as best I can, but this is the price I have to pay.
The Washington Post had an absolutely shockingly, appallingly stupid editorial this week. Well, I had a lot of things that were stupid this week. I'll do both of them. The first was they did an editorial basically saying, Snowden should come back to the U.S. and plea and stop these leaks. Hello, he leaked to you, Washington Post. You. Absurd. Then there's an amazing column. Actually, you need to look it up, Leo. I don't have it in the rundown, but if you Google it. Robert Samuelson in the Washington Post wrote a column, tongue nowhere near cheek, saying that we should repeal the internet.
Yeah, that's really where the problem lies, isn't it? If there weren't an internet, this would be so much easier.
Repeal the internet?
Repeal the internet. It's not really brought much good. It's bringing too much trouble. Let's just get rid of it.
let's just roll it back. We'll just go back to the way things were before.
This isn't the economist Robert Samuelson.
No, it's not. Everybody thinks that is. That's, I think, Paul Samuelson. It's a different
Paul Samuelson, okay. Yeah, that's economics 101 textbook is by Samuelson.
Yeah, this guy is flunked life 101. The quotes in there are unbelievable quotes in there.
Oh, let's read it. I want to read it now.
just dash down. You'll find them as you go.
Please repeat the internet. It's such a bad idea. If only we didn't have an internet. And then there would be problems. And no,
it's kind of hard to believe. I can't find
it. I just threw it in the chat room if you need it.
You did?
Yeah.
We have a chat room?
I think so.
Okay.
Where have I been chatting?
There it is. Oh, that's ours. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Beware the internet and the danger of cyber attacks, writes Robert J. Samuelson, opinion writer. If I could, I would repeal the internet. It's the technological marvel of the age, but it is not a symbol of progress. Just the opposite. We'd be better off without it.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I understand the pleasures of YouTube and iTunes, the convenience of GPS, which does not use the internet, incidentally, and much more. That's not the internet, Bobby. But the internet's benefits are relatively modest compared with previous transformative technologies, like the automobile and the toilet. And it brings with it a terrifying danger, cyber war. Wow.
Unbelievable, huh?
The Mother Jones had a good article in which it's supposed, based on what we know about Snowden, that Edward Snowden, is that he was in fact a cyber warfare expert. That the reason he had so much access is that he was testing vulnerabilities in amongst our potential enemies. He was a hacker for the CIA.
Yeah.
I like that. I think that's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, we wouldn't have any of this if we didn't have the internet. That's true. But we'd still have GPS. I'm sorry, Robert. Who is this guy?
He's a columnist, been there for years.
Yeah. That's the problem with opinion. It's very different from the editorial side, right?
Yeah, but that's no excuse. It still appears under their brand. I had a big argument with a big Dow Jones executive on Twitter this week. Because
the Wall Street Journal's opinion columnists are basically from the Stone Age.
And they had a column on Greenwald that just said, well, what if he did help Snowden and shouldn't he be arrested? You know, but asking what if doesn't mean crap. There was no fact whatsoever in there. It was libel. And the executive at the News Corp said to me on Twitter, well, but, you know, don't you understand this difference of opinion? I said, it's still occurring under your brand.
You're in Brussels. You're in the headquarters of the EU. What do you hear on the street? Are people upset? You know, we were tapping their
waffle. Oh, sorry.
A waffle would be good. I'd love a waffle right now. A Belgian waffle.
Actually, a little carnival down the street. I went to this dinner. This conference, and the dinner took forever, so I left with no dinner. And so I walked by this kiddie carnival. I almost think waffle, Belgium. Yes, right thing to do. But I rushed back here for you.
Frites. They're famous for frites. That if you like French fries with mayonnaise, you're in the right spot.
They're also
Jeff,
famous
for
a
waffle for twig.
I sacrificed a waffle for twig. World. I also world. So I wouldn't be too bad. I didn't have a Duvel, which is a high alcohol beer.
I love Duvels. Belgian.
I would have taken the waffle.
Beer.
I would have been late. I would have been like texting Chad, like, yo, I got to get this waffle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, really, like Jeff. After. I'm so sorry you didn't have dinner or a waffle.
For you. You want to see what I had? All right, here.
Oh, no.
Here.
He had something from the mini bar.
What they call a croque monsieur in the hotel is just a grilled cheese.
Oh.
No bechamel sauce.
No bechamel.
Now that I've finished complaining. Well, the EU.
Because weren't we okay? So we've been tapping their phones. We've captured their faxes.
There was a story this week that was last week that was withdrawn by the Observer, and evidently the guy who was the source is a known paranoid, and the story never should have gone in, saying that Germany was trading stuff too, and immediately the German politicians, as one I know from the Green Party, was in right away on Twitter saying, my God, we're going to go after this. And I said, are you going to go after this? He said, oh, yes, very seriously. And then the story got withdrawn. So it still remains. It's on U.S. and U.K. And, yeah, we're bugging governments. And what Obama has been saying is kind of, well, you know, everybody does some of this.
Yeah.
It's appalling.
The U.S. had, according to this German magazine, conducted, and this is not what you were talking about. This is another story.
It's a different story. This is Der Spiegel.
This one is credible. In Der Spiegel, had conducted a wide-ranging effort to monitor EU diplomatic offices and computer networks. I mean, these are our allies, kids. In fact, the French say this is jeopardizing future transatlantic trade talks. Partners do not spy on each other, said EU Commissioner for Justice Viviane Reding at a public event in Luxembourg on Sunday. We cannot negotiate over a big transatlantic market if there is the slightest doubt that our partners are carrying out spying activities in the offices of our negotiators. Now we know why they're pissed off at Snowden. This doesn't have anything to do with alerting the terrorists. It has to do with alerting our allies to what we're up to. That's why we're upset.
It's corporate espionage. It's corporate espionage. It's exactly what we've been accusing the Chinese of doing.
President of the European Parliament, Martin Schulz, told reporters in Brussels on Sunday, it's shocking that the U.S. take measures against their most important, their nearest allies, comparable to the measures taken in the past by the KGB, the Secret Service of the Soviet Union. He felt treated like an enemy.
Yep.
NSA had placed listening devices in diplomatic offices in Washington and New York, had breached an EU computer network that provided access to internal emails and documents, and accessed phone lines in EU headquarters in Brussels in order to monitor top officials' phone conversations. It had seen documents from Snowden, but didn't publish them in 2010. Or is that of 2010 documents?
I can't imagine that it was anything from 2010, no.
No. Yeah, you know, that's where the upset is. That's where the upset is. You think, you know, I mean, criminy.
It's government going far too far. Yeah. And, you know, but I on my TV here in Brussels, I have CNN International on. Lucky me versus CNN regular. Right now, I'm sure it's nothing but the trial on CNN regular. But, you know, Morsi just
got Zimmerman out of, trial.
The Zimmerman trial.
Yeah.
But the news in the real world, of course, is that President of Egypt has just been ousted by the
right
army.
Huge story.
And I talked to somebody tonight at this conference, a wonderful woman who's a journalism professor, communications professor from Turkey, and the things that are going on there are absolutely amazing. I talked to at the last conference I was at, I talked to an editor from Brazil. There's a Twilight of the Gods moment going on here that I can't quite figure out yet, and not saying anybody could. Nothing to figure out yet, but government's going. On the one hand, you have something like the American government, supposedly a government of principle, is going overboard in just incredibly wacky ways. On the other hand, you have these countries where you have people able to take to the street, and maybe it's mob rule, maybe it's a bad thing, but who can now find each other and organize in a way that's just shocking governments. The disruption that's going to come to government, I think, is huge. And in the case of the U.S., A, you could argue that the government's bringing it on itself, but B, you wonder, why isn't there more outrage in the U.S.? Are some of us
too it's too complicated of a story. I don't know. We don't care. You know, I mean, I think that really there is a certain amount of the people of the United States are somewhat complicit in all this, right? We want to be safe from terrorism. So we're kind
of right. Part of it too is that you can't spy on us, but we've always known that you can spy on everybody else in the world. And that's okay. Which is, we should have been mad about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to move on. There's happier stuff. We shouldn't be talking about anything like this. It's too complex. Leave this to the politicians. They'll work it out.
Leo, right? You're right there on the right now. Have you seen the 15-year-old girl's hand-powered flashlight?
That's a story.
Made me really happy.
That is a happy story.
That's a happy story.
It really is a great story.
It's chosen for the Google Science Fair.
The video is amazing. This kid is unbelievable. Well,
let's watch. You got the video there, Chad Chattington? Anne Makaczynski of Victoria, British Columbia, is the sole Canadian finalist for the Google Science Fair competition.
Hi, my name's Anne, and I'm 15 years old. I live in Victoria, BC, Canada, and today I'll be talking about my hollow flashlight. So I became interested in the area of harvesting surplus energy when I realized that humans are a great source of untapped thermal energy. And my objective became to make a flashlight that runs solely on the heat of the human hand. I decided to use some cheap Pelche tiles. If this is a tile and you heat one side of the tile and you cool the other, electricity is produced. In my case, I'd be heating one side of the tile with the palm of my hand and cooling the other with just the ambient air. My first step was finding how much heat per centimeter squared our body radiates. I found this to be around 5 milliwatts, and I needed only 0.5 milliwatts to obtain a good usable LED brightness. Step two was to do a small characterization test of the two different sized Peltier tiles. I found that both tiles produced sufficient energy, but only around a few millivolts. I needed around 2.5 volts. Step three was finding a way to boost my voltage. My final circuit had only four components. I obtained a good LED brightness with less than a 50 millivolt input and around 50% efficiency. My last step was designing the physical aspect of my flashlight. Because I only needed to heat one side of the Peltier tiles, the heart of my design was a hollow aluminum tube. The air flowed freely through the tube and also cooled the other side of the tiles. My results proved my hypothesis, and I was able to produce around 5 milliwatts of power and 5-foot candles of brightness. I achieved my objective of creating a flashlight that runs solely on the heat of the human hand.
Let's see it.
So here's my flashlight. I'll just give you a quick demo, and I'll put my hand on top of it and turn off the light.
Wow! It works!
She's awesome.
Thank you. Isn't she great?
1.1 million views on YouTube of the Holo flashlight, and she's 15 years old, a 10th grader from Victoria of BC.
She said before it was at 200 views, and I was like, yes, 200 views!
I just think this is just wonderful. The more who see
Isn't
it, the
she
better.
The greatest?
And it really, I think it's important because we talk a lot about STEM and how important STEM is. And now I think now more Canadians will get into the STEM stuff. And I think that's great. No, I'm joking. I meant girls.
I joked at the time on Twitter that Google and Tesla were competing to hire her. And then sure enough, Google.
Did they offer an internship?
In the science fair.
Oh, that's great.
Well, she's in the science,
no,
fair.
She's in the science fair. But she's like.
She's only 15. Yeah, you can't hire her yet. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to do the changelog. We'll talk about a farewell to Google Reader and what you're using instead, and an interesting leaked ad. Actually, I guess today's the day the ad actually comes out officially for the Moto X, a fully customizable smartphone. What could that mean? But first, a word from our friends at Squarespace, the place to go for your next website. In fact, if you're not thrilled with your hosting right now, you might want to check out Squarespace.com. It's the all-in-one platform, makes it very simple to create the most beautiful website you've ever seen, a site that never goes down because their hosting is superb, and because they've got the best content management system on top of it, you can make your site look great, you can make it easy to post to. You can even do e-commerce. They're always improving, too. They have an award-winning design team, always new templates like the Momentum template we've mentioned before, that full-bleed image display, great for photographers and designers who want a portfolio. You can try it for 2 weeks free. You don't even need a credit card, and import all the existing content from your site if you're thinking about moving, including everything like images, comments. All the links are preserved. Then see what it's like. Squarespace has a 24/7 support team. They have live chat during the week, very fast email support day and night. And, of course, there's an active forum, lots of videos. They have webinars for free so you can learn how to use Squarespace even better. If you're a developer, you're going to love Squarespace because they've got a great developer platform. But you don't have to be to take advantage of all the point-and-click customizations you can make. Always mobile responsive. So all Squarespace sites look great on all size screens. Always easy to click in your social media stuff, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Google+, LinkedIn, et cetera, et cetera. Look, go to squarespace.com. Click the try it free button. Sign up for a free account. You don't need a credit card. But if you decide to buy, and by the way, the e-commerce at $24 a month is an amazing deal. Amazing deal. Use the offer code TWIG7. It gets even amazinger. You get 10% off your first purchase. That includes monthly plans, but also annual plans. And when you do sign up for an annual plan, not only do you get the best price, but you can also get a free domain registration. They'll hook it all up for you. Try it today. If you need a website for 2 weeks, it's free. If you want to do it for longer, very affordable. Just go to Squarespace. I like that. Squarespace.com. That's actually a Squarespace site we're looking at. It looks like a video.
It is a video.
Oh, it is a video. Okay. But that's on the, you can go see that on the
Squarespace. This is a new ad talking about how.
It's so cool.
You can be whatever.
Squarespace.com, the offer code TWIG7. But, you know, I'm looking at the site, and so the site has motion in it, too. You know, the site, yeah. The stuff, there's hands, and it's pretty cool. If you click through it, and this is a Squarespace site, so you could kind of see the capabilities. It's really amazing. Squarespace.com. Use our offer code TWIG7. We thank them for their support. Now, ladies and gentlemen, time to break out the trumpets because it's time for... You were ready.
The Google Changelog.
The Google Changelog. Gina Trapani has the latest from Google.
Not a whole lot to report this week, but I put on my glass because I think the biggest update this week is a Google Glass update, which, Leo, you don't have yet, but it's XE7. It's rolling out slowly to explorers. And I think that the kind of the biggest update is that you can get a full web browser inside Glass. So it used to be that if you did a Google search, you would get back just cards with links. Now there's an option to view the website, so it loads the entire website. It's usually the mobile skin if it's got a mobile skin, the site that you're looking at, and a couple of new interesting modes. Like, so once the website loads, you can swipe back and forth on the touchpad to scroll up and down. There's a look around mode where you use two fingers to tap and hold on the touchpad, and then you can look up around to pan on a page. Yeah, Chad's showing us right there. You can see an example, like the Wikipedia page is their mobile theme. And then, you can zoom by dragging along the touchpad. You can do look around. You can tap, so you can actually navigate websites by tapping on links. You can watch YouTube videos in Glass.
That's a clever way to solve that navigation thing.
Yeah, it actually is. You know, I didn't have this update last night for All About Android, but I just got it this morning. It finished updating, and I was saying last night on AAA that I just couldn't imagine that this would be anything but cumbersome. But it actually is pretty usable. It's a lot more usable than I thought that it would be. Although I was standing with my wife in the room and browsing websites, I was looking up something on Urban Dictionary.
You kind of look like a dork, right?
Yeah, and she was looking at me, sort of not disgusted, but sort of like, you know, because I have the screen on and I'm looking up at the screen. You
Your
know?
Head's moving around, like
yeah,
right?
Yeah, head's moving around. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And she's like, watching someone use Glass is just, it's not.
Yeah.
nothing fun about it.
Yeah.
But it is handy when you want to look up something on the web, because honestly, doing a Google search without having the web page was pretty useless before this update. This update also gave you a couple more voice commands. If someone calls, you can say, okay, Glass, answer. If you get a text message, you can say reply without having to touch the touchpad. Oh, I'm activating my Glass. And then all your Gmail contacts are available now on Glass. You used to be limited to like 10 contacts, and now all of them are updated. So Jeff and Leo, you guys and Jason, you guys should get this update pretty soon. It's XE7, and the Glass has to be plugged in and connected to Wi-Fi in order to get the update. What else do we have? Ah, this is for you, Jeff. Chrome OS, the dev channel, Quick Office support just got enhanced. So now you can do Microsoft Word and Excel file editing in Chrome. The Next Web reports they were kind of watching the Chromium check-in. Check-ins there. If you go into, I think you have to go into Chrome flags, and there's a box to enable document editing, and then you can edit documents. It looks like this is local Chrome based, not
amazing.
You know, this isn't Drive, right? This is actual Chrome based. So I'm not sure exactly what happens to the file when you're in Chrome OS. I guess you can either store it on Drive or save it on your local storage. But so easy Microsoft Word and Excel editing in Chrome OS. Google News got a little change this week. They're adding sports mm-hmm. scores and weather to the homepage. And they've got these editor pick sections. So they're giving business and tech sections. They're adding these editor picks. And those are going to also expand to other sections. Jeff, did you see this? I know you're a big Google News user. What do you think about the, have you seen the editor's picks content or?
Yeah.
I
haven't seen it yet, but I'm still upset. I kind of like the purity of the algorithm view of Google News.
Yep. Yeah, it's a collection of headlines handpicked by publishers, right? So it goes back to that old media idea of like someone, you know, editorial control, picking stories versus having people the stories that are most.
I think it's a sop to editorial ego. It's a sop to the brands to say, oh no, you matter, you still matter.
Right. And last thing, the Google search field trial, which if you haven't opted in, you can opt in at google.com/experimental/gmail field trial. This is the little bit of functionality that basically lets you search for information across Google products in your regular search box. So email and calendar and files from Google Drive and reservations. They've just added your Google or your Gmail contact information to search. So if I went to so if I'm opted into this field trial and I go search for Leo, for example, I'll see Leo's details from my Gmail contacts, and they're also going to be adding Google Plus profile support soon. Sadly, this doesn't work so well for me because I keep most of my contacts in my apps account, and it doesn't work for apps accounts, but promise of what's to come. And that's all I got.
That's the change log and growling from the app users. Yeah, I search for Gina Trapani and I get your contact info.
Yeah, there you
yeah.
go.
Yeah, a little card comes up. It says visible only to you from Google Contacts.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I was interested to know what that UI was like, right? Because the information in your contact in Gmail might be different than the information that's like publicly on my Google Plus. So it says visible to only you.
Yes.
Actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. That's nice that they're.
I think you could show this, Chad. This is your information.
I almost took to it.
No, I think this is safe. There's no phone number in here.
Okay, good.
Contact now info from Chad Johnson's profile. There's some stuff. And then from Google Contacts, visible only to you, there's some additional stuff. So that's separate. And then it shows recent posts. This is really cool, actually. Oh, that's not doing the right thing. That's pretty cool.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha. And that address is our studio address, LOL.
Yeah. No, that's not where Chad lives. That's why I said it's okay to show this.
Good,
yeah,
good point.
But this is the contact info from Google Plus that you post on Google Plus. Mm-hmm. And then you see here it says from Google Contacts visible only to you. Mm-hmm. There's additional stuff. And in this case, it's just a separate email address, which is
public anyway.
Public, yeah. But it would presumably have phone numbers and other stuff if I had that. I think I do have that in there, which is odd. So I'm not sure why it's not showing everything. And then I find a USA Today article with you running 24 miles an hour on a treadmill.
Yeah, you know, I just
pretty
wake up in the morning.
Impressive.
You got to do it.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Chad Johnson's getting in on the running. Tremendous.
To the NFL.
Yep. Good going, Chad Johnson, if that's your real name. Thank you for the change log.
Sure.
That's it, right? Yeah, we played the trumpet, the drums, the timps. Okay. I don't want to truncate anything. You did notice that Franz Kafka in the U.S. is being celebrated on Google on the front page today. That's why there's a cockroach coming out of a door. if you weren't sure.
Right, that's why.
That's why.
Of course.
Yeah, for those of you who live in New York, it's like home.
Hey, neighbor.
Somebody turned on the lights. It's Franz Kafka's 130th birthday. Now,
Remember back in the day when we used to think that changing the doodle was a big news story? Every week we'd say, Google changed the doodle. Wow. And now
Well, that's funny because it was Time Magazine that made this big splash over that one. I don't know why. Hey, there was a big splash. I haven't looked yet at the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the Washington Post, or USA Today, the paper editions. But apparently there is a full-page ad in each of them. In the first smartphone designed, here's the ad, engineered and assembled in the USA is coming tomorrow in the US. That's Independence Day, the 4th of July. You'll eat burgers, watch fireworks, and celebrate the freedom to be whoever you want to be. The freedom to be spied upon. It's with the same spirit we're bringing you something new. The first smartphones you can design yourself. This is what I want to know what you think this means. Because today you should have the freedom to design the things in your life to be as unique as you are. And this is just the beginning. Imagine what will be possible when you have the world's best design, engineering, and manufacturing talent located here in the U.S. This is Google's first Motorola phone since they bought them 2 years ago. Designed
by... When are you having your event up there, Leo?
I'm going to see them next week, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, Wednesday after Twig, right?
Right after the show next week.
That's right.
Driving to the Googleplex, special invitation. Guy Kawasaki, who's now doing some evangelizing for Motorola, said, as a personal favor to me. So I'm thinking we're going to get to see this thing, right? This new phone.
Yeah, you're going to get to see the phone.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
What do you think that means, customizable? parts.
We were speculating last night on All About Android, and you know, my brain immediately went to software. I was thinking, oh, they'll have different skins or different launchers. You know, you'll be able to choose. You know, you'd be like, do I, you know, am I an explorer? Am I a sports nut? Am I, you know, a cook? Am I, you know, fitness? And then they'll have different things. But this seems specifically, Jason made the good point that this seems specifically kind of about the hardware. This is about a phone that you can design yourself. So we were speculating that maybe it's, you know, that you kind of get to design like the back of your phone. Maybe you can choose a color or you can get it engraved with something. But we were saying
choose
that,
your
like,
carrier?
Not too much, you know, choose your carrier. I mean, the Moto X is going to be, it's not going to be Verizon exclusive the way the Droids are, right? It's going to be across carriers. So there's that. But you know what else? What is really customizable? Most phones are just sort of like, you know, black rectangular touch, you know, slabs, right? There's not much that you can customize except really kind of the back. I don't know. I mean, if I wanted to get sparkly rainbows on my phone, would that, you know?
The Verge is saying laser engraving.
Laser engraving. Okay.
Colors and laser engraving. Have you ever heard of everything.me? So no, they have software that you use as a launcher on your phone that pays attention to what you've been looking for and changes your desktop, your wallpaper, everything, your apps even, depending on what you've searched for. So all of a sudden, if you search for Adele, you see a lot of Adele on your phone. Do you think it could be that?
I think that could be something. I think there's
That's not something I want. You can get that right now in the Play Store if you want it.
Yeah, there are apps that kind of sort your apps. It seems like there are different modes. Like when I'm traveling or if I'm at a conference or I'm traveling, I'm using apps like TripIt and Navigation.
That's true.
And Local so much more. And I wish that my phone should be able to know that I'm away from home or that I'm in a new city, you mm-hmm. know. And it really could adjust to feature those apps, I think, more prominently when I'm in that mode. And I'm trying to think of other times, even just, you know, going to the gym or, you know, there are certain apps that I would use there. Or I mean, on one hand, I think, well, I really like to customize my phone and I really like to figure out, you know, I like to make my little folder of most used apps. And I it would annoy me maybe if my phone just sort of morphed without my intervention and especially if it got it wrong. But I do think that there is some innovation around that. In fact, one of the things about Android 4.3, the K release, is that it might have some, like, you know, most used apps sorting versus least used stuff. So is everything.me, is that an app? Or?
It's a launcher.
It's a launcher. Okay. Yeah.
Which you can get right now if you want. Joanna Stern, writing for ABC, says sources at Google have told ABC News that their new 500,000 square foot factory in Texas will be able to deliver the personalized device to buyers within days of placing the order. You choose the color and the engraving. Now, Apple did this with the iPod, right? So through the website, buyers will be able to select from a palette of different colors. One color can be used for the back, another for the front, for the trim. Users will be able to engrave a name or message on the back cover, as well as upload a personal photo through the site to be used as wallpaper. So when you take it out of the box, it'll have your wallpaper on it. It will run Android 4.2.2. You'll be able to buy the mid-range priced phone via the web, but also carriers will have it in their stores. Mm. All major U.S. carriers. And it won't be a Droid if you buy it from Verizon. No. You cannot customize the... This is Joanna Stern still. While you cannot customize the internals of the phone processor. Remember, you will have a variety of storage options.
Mm. So well, that sounds, you think there'll reasonable. Be an unlocked version?
Well, if it's on Google's website, there ought to be a Nexus. This should be the next Nexus, right? Those Google Edition phones, as we now know, are not Nexi.
Right, they're not.
Because Nexi. Updates come from the manufacturer, not from Google.
Well, right, they work together on it, but right the manufacturer's involved.
Mm-hmm. Right, the manufacturer in this case is Google.
Yeah.
There are also, according to ABC, added voice capabilities to leverage Google's advanced voice recognition technology. It's smart enough to know when you're driving and will automatically launch the speakerphone function. You know what? They do that now with I think Joanna's an iPhone user, but your car home will automatically launch when you are moving at a certain speed or when you dock the phone.
Yeah, that's a new API in Android now as well.
Yeah.
Driving, cycling, and walking.
Instead of having to fumble to find the camera icon, a button, users will be able to flick the phone to launch the camera. We could do that right now on the HTC One and the Galaxy S4. On the lock screen, you just flick it over and it has the camera.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that on stock as well. If
stock
you
will do that.
The camera widget, yeah.
I love it that it's fully made in the U.S. I think that's a selling point from Americans' point of view, obviously not internationally. And it also helps them customize faster. There you go.
It would make your phone less likely to be stolen or have less value if it's got your name engraved on the back of it.
Good point. Good point.
I don't know that I would put my name on my... I guess I'd put my name on my phone.
Or you could put, Etta's name. here's a couple of photos supposedly revealing the rear case from the French site Nowhere Else. Teal, red, purple, or green.
No!
If you go teal, nobody's going to steal your phone, I can promise.
Yeah.
I don't want that teal phone.
Uh-oh.
It's like the glass colors, very bright.
Yeah. Google colors.
I use a purple gel
case.
Pen ink.
Yeah.
And my wife hates that it's just so unmasculine to use purple ink, but nobody ever steals a pen from men. Nobody wants it.
Do you dye your eyes with little hearts?
No. That hurt.
I thought
that
hurt.
Oh,
wow. You're in league with my wife. You gals stick together. Got Jeff right there.
No, I think it's cute. I think purple pens are cute and gender neutral.
I like purple.
I don't do pink with her, so it's pretty much all purple and teal. We try to be in green and yellow. We try to go pretty gender neutral.
I don't know what color this is. It's like a royal blue for my laptop. I like it.
Yeah.
I have a color theory. Have I shared this theory with you?
No.
There is no teal. It is actually a conspiracy by women that they point to different colors and call it teal.
You know that magenta does not, in fact, exist. Did you know that? There is no magenta. That is actually true.
I'm image searching teal. It's a Tiffany's conspiracy is what it is.
Magenta is not in the... There's teal.
Well, the other one I hate, I think, is the same as mauve.
Mauve is a color no one knows what the hell it is. Yeah, you're right.
This is
a good test, actually. Let me ask Gina. Do you know what color mauve is?
It's in the red family, isn't it?
I don't know.
I don't know. No, it's more sort of purplish.
You Googled it.
I did Google it. I'll stick with teal. I'll give you mauve.
So magenta is actually an after image. Is that mauve, all that? Those are mauve?
The most ridiculous image search for mauve I've ever seen. There's purple and red and tan and pink.
Tan. See, that's what happens to me. They point to tan. That's mauve. I say, no, it's not. It's tan.
It's not
no, it's
mauve.
I'd search for mauve color.
We have unearthed the conspiracy right here thanks to Google. There is no mauve.
it is a suspicious.
I meant mauve, not tan.
Now here's mauve. this is good. This is the color mauve color chart. These are all mauve. So there you go. I mean, this looks like gray, but it's actually
tan.
It's
purple.
First blush. Don't get that wrong. You see, you could tell you're a guy. Did you see that you can install Android 4.3 on your Galaxy S4? 4.3.
Yeah.
This only works on the Snapdragon S4s, which means I can't do it because I have an Exynos-based S4. So what's the difference in 4.3? It's not, first of all, it's not key lime pie. It's still ice cream. It's still jelly bean.
Right. That's right. not a whole lot of differences. A lot of kind of under the hood stuff to reduce battery usage.
Well, that's good.
Maybe some camera UI changes, but not that crazy. I think they changed the fact that the menu is a circle to the fact that it's just kind of an arc. But nothing else that really jumped out at me, that nothing earth shattering. That I was like, oh, I absolutely want this right now.
But I don't know why they did a point release. They could have done 4.23.
4.23 instead of 4.3. Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Huh.
I'm ready for key lime pie.
I am too. Google Earth now has Street View. So they're really, you know, I recently deleted Google Earth from my Android phone because I felt like Maps did everything I cared about.
Yeah.
It takes up a lot of memory.
It's big.
It takes up a lot of space. Yeah.
So I would love one of you experts to explain, which is there a compelling reason to have Google Earth instead of Maps? And Maps, I guess, has turn by turn, which Google Earth does not. Mm-hmm. And latitude.
I have a confession.
Yes, confess away.
I cannot navigate Street View to save my soul.
Really?
No, I end up going into alleys and up, and I can't go. I just want to go there. I go nuts. I go absolutely nuts. I cannot use it.
That's why you have a Pixel. You just touch where you want to go.
Well, that's true. When you use Maps in the Pixel, by the way, it's pretty cool because you can pinch the maps.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah, that's very cool. That's very cool. Alta Vista. We mentioned that Google Reader's gone. Did you know that Alta Vista's been sunsetted?
This is a huge deal. Before there was Google My Children, there was Alta Vista. It owned the world. It was the coolest thing. It was the big search. It was everything. Little story here. Back when I still worked for Advanced Publications, the Newhouses, Condé Nast, Newhouse Newspapers, I ended up on a big team with Time Inc. We were going to buy Alta Vista.
Wow.
And we did all kinds of due diligence and all kinds of meetings and all kinds of this and that, and then ended up getting, I think we got outbid by Yahoo, I think was what happened.
So it was started in 1995. It was the search engine everybody used. In fact,
absolutely was.
It was the one I remember using, and I remember in about probably 98 or not, maybe 2000, Dvorak started to test people's tech savvy by asking them which search engine they used. If they used the newcomer Google, thumbs up. If they said Alta Vista, then they were behind the times. In 2000,
except now, probably Dvorak is the one mourning the death of Alta Vista.
I loved Alta Vista. In 2003, it was bought by Overture. Overture was bought by Yahoo. Overture was an ad company that Yahoo bought.
That was Bill Gross's company, right?
It's Alta Vista is not really. It's been around, but not heavily used anymore. And if you go to Alta Vista,
I couldn't believe it was still there. The logo was still there. It was still there. I was shocked.
Well, it is till the 8th. Let me go there. I haven't been there since 1998. There it is. Wow. Looks just like Google.
I would have just assumed that it was a.
And here's trending searches. The number one search right now.
Here's the funny thing. Leo, you want a real good joke?
Yeah.
Scroll to the bottom and see what it's powered by.
Probably powered by Yahoo, right?
Mm-mm.
No, it's nothing on the bottom anymore.
Oh, then do a search.
Oh, do a search. Okay. I'll search for Digger Phelps. I don't know why it's the number one search. Who's searching? Oh, because that's why, because he's ill.
Now scroll to the bottom.
Powered by.
Powered by Bing.
Oh.
There is no Yahoo search. Yahoo search is Bing, so that's what you get.
Bing.
Wow.
So who was the product manager sitting in some dark little office, amazed he or she still had a job for the last 5 years? He said, well, I gotta change Alta Vista to put Bing in there. Okay, I'll do whatever it takes to keep my job.
Number two search, Camp Tawanga. I don't know. Oh, because there was an accident. A tree fell in Camp Tawanga. So, but apparently knows who I am. Oh, because it's got my Yahoo account is logged in. So it does have Yahoo stuff. Up at the top. Yeah. Anyway, it's July 8th is the end. Other things Yahoo will be killing: Yahoo Access, the browser plugin, Yahoo Browser Plus, Citizen Sports, the Yahoo Web Player, Foxy Tunes.
Wow.
Yahoo RSS Alerts. That's sad. Same day as Google Reader. Yahoo Neighbors. Yahoo Stars India, Yahoo Downloads Beta, Yahoo Local API, and Yahoo Term Extraction API. Huh. So let's talk about Reader. Was there a, you know, did the Earth come to a close? Anything?
No.
Nah, just went with a
whimper. There's an argument to be made. Some people are making the argument that this is a good thing because when Google did Reader, all the other RSS readers went away. And by killing Reader, there's been some new development in RSS lately. I don't know if I agree or not, but fine. I'll look for a silver lining in any cloud.
It's too late if you haven't exported out. I think you're done, right? Google Takeout no longer works. Or does it?
I don't think. We should try. Let me check.
I went to as many different replacements as I could and signed up and said import my Google Reader. So now I have choices. So this is the Dig Reader, which is actually very credible. It looks very much like the Google Reader and, in fact, still uses J, K. All the keys are the same. I think they've done a nice job. I think this is pretty sweet. It has built-in sharing. Then there's, of course, Feedly, which is a little prettier, although Feedly can be made to look as bad as Yahoo. I mean, as Google Reader.
Takeout is still for Reader. It's still up.
It's still up.
If you go to google.com/takeout,
hurry.
Choose services. Yeah, you can go to Reader. Although Mihai Paparito, who actually worked on Reader at Google, he launched a site. It's readerisdead.com, and he's saying that basically Takeout doesn't include all your red items, all your starred items, your tagged items, your shared items, the shared items with people you were following, the comments on shared items, your liked items. So he put together
a Python script.
Which exports all this for you. I have not tried this after 2 days ago, so I'm not sure if this Python script will still work. But you only really get the OPML and a couple other JSON files from Takeout.
Feedly has it. One of the nice things about Feedly is it does have the kind of more traditional magazine look, but there is a view that looks very much like Google Reader. Feedly has much more sophisticated. It's more mature. It has much more sophisticated sharing capabilities. Works with If This Then That, which is neat.
I'm liking Feedly, fun. Can you import? You can't import OPML on Feedly, can you? Unless I missed it.
I didn't even do that. It had a button that said import your Google Reader.
Yeah, that's all
right.
I did.
That button doesn't work anymore.
That's gone.
Yeah, that's
so
gone.
So hope you did that.
Yeah. So the only one that I found that I could just import my OPML was because I had done Takeout, but I had waited to move over was the old Reader.
REE.
Which is okay.
DER. And that's temporarily free.
Yes.
Maybe permanently, I don't know.
I used 2,000 people on the import.
Yeah. I used NetNewsWire for years as a feed reader on OS X, and it's come back. And they also...
Meanwhile, we're on Android.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I think they have a Windows version of this as well. I might be wrong, but it's owned by BlackPixel now. So there are lots of choices. If you're one of the few, the 500,000 or whatever, that still use a reader, there are choices for you. I think that's about all we need to talk about. Anything else? The Bing challenge? Nah.
Bing challenge. Still second place.
Vivo was a hot topic for a while. People were thinking the music video site might move off of YouTube and go to Facebook. Such a big deal that Google has today announced that it did, in fact, make a deal with Vivo, including buying a stake in the company. Means that's a lot of money Google spent to keep Vivo's music videos on YouTube. 50.2 million users a month, according to ComScore. Not huge, but one of YouTube's biggest partners. Terms of the agreement not disclosed. Billboard said between $40 and $50 million, which is a good deal. I think that's a fair deal if it's for 50 million views a month. And really, that's the MTV, isn't it now? Kids don't watch MTV. They want music videos. They go to YouTube and search for them. And Vivo was, a play by the record labels to make sure those were legit. And then they got the money.
Yep.
That's good.
Looks like Twitter made an update to their developer guidelines.
I see your link. Let's see.
Yeah, they banned auto following and bulk following. That's good. That's good for users.
Yeah, because your typical app didn't do that, but there were specialty apps that people could run and have, say, anytime anybody follows me, follow them back, that kind of thing. And that just junks it up. Twitter also, less benignly, has announced that it's going to allow advertisers access to information that you provide Twitter, and further allow third-party tracking cookies for advertisers to propagate to Twitter. And you can opt out if you have a Twitter account. You can go to your settings and opt out of tracking. So that's something that they just announced today. We've talked about this before. Jeff and I kind of are on the same page on this. We don't really care if people track us.
Tracking cookies.
Yeah, Boing Boing had a good article on what to do because they're privacy advocates. So Jenny Jardin wrote an article on how to. There's an article. She links to the article on Advertising Age. Unlike Facebook, which is also doing the same thing, Twitter does let you opt out of this. Advertisers will be able to tailor ads for you based on your activities, not only on Twitter, but off Twitter. And will also use personal information like email addresses to target the ads you see. Twitter's senior director of product and revenue says users won't see more ads on Twitter, but they may see better ones. So go into your Twitter settings, and now there is a Do Not Track check button. Your visits to sites that feature Twitter are not available to personalize your experience. Facebook does this with a like button. And I guess there's a Twitter like button. So there you go.
Yes, this has to do with the personalization. Tailor Twitter based on my recent website visits.
Right.
Yeah.
That's tracking, basically.
Right. And then tailor ads based on information shared by ad partners.
Right.
Display ads about things you've already shown interest in.
Yeah, but the point is not only on Twitter, but other places. You go to visit a site that has a Twitter button on it. Twitter knows now that you visited that site because it's a third-party tracking cookie. And now, so I go to, let's say, the Starbucks site. I don't know if they have a Twitter button on there, but I bet you they do. I go to the Starbucks site. Now Twitter knows I went to the Starbucks site, and I may happen to see an ad for Tim Hortons on my Twitter feed because of that. All right, let's get our tips, numbers, and tool of the week, starting with Gina Trapani's tip of the week.
So this is, I picked this up on Lifehacker. If you're on Android phone, and this totally happens to me, so I tested it out and it works really well. You're on your Android phone and you tap the Google search bar and you start to type into Google search and it's just slow, super, super slow to type in and then. You know, press enter to run the search. If your Google searches on your Android phone seem super slow, Lifehacker recommends this tweak. Now, this is one of these kind of proceed with caution, be prepared for it maybe not to work on your phone. Go in knowing that this is kind of a not recommended tweak, but that does work for a lot of people. If you disable a built-in app called Search Application Provider, which can run kind of slow on some handsets, excuse me. If you force stop that application, your Google searches will speed up significantly, and they did for me on my Galaxy Nexus. If you could just Google speed up slow Google searches in Android with this tweak, and you'll see the Lifehacker article. Just go to your settings and apps, and you swipe over to all apps, and there's this built-in app called Search Applications Provider. You tap it, disable it. You'll get a little warning that'll say, "Hey, if you disable a system app, you know things might get wonky." Feeling brave, tap OK, and then try your Google search again. You'll see that it's super fast, or it's faster than it has been. If you got the slowdown that I had, so give that a try. You speed up your Google searches.
What happens when you reset the phone? When you restart the phone, does it go back on again by default?
I think that you're actually disabling the app versus stopping. Okay. So I believe that sticks from one start to the next. Yeah.
Did you end up buying the Google Experience phone or not?
I did. It ships on July 9th.
And you got a 1?
Ships. Oh, yeah, I got an L1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Good.
Is there anything, Gina, is there anything about the Motorola announcement that might make you say, might cancel that?
I don't care about laser etched seal handouts. I don't care about that. In fact, the thing that I love about the wand, and I shared this with you guys, is that the reason why I chose the wand is because I just think it's a beautiful handset. I just think it's a really nice phone. It's the handset I want to carry.
Yeah.
So I'm not concerned about that. Although, I mean, I'm sure that my updates are going to come out a little slower than the Nexus and the Moto X. We'll get them. So there might be some shaking of the fist when those phones get the updates. But otherwise, I'm good with it. I mean, I want to see it. I want to see the Moto X and see what they did with it. But colors and laser etching doesn't really.
Here's the reason. Here's the reason that the one was the right choice. By the way, it is gorgeous. You're right. And the front speakers and all, and the aluminum unibody and everything. It's really a gorgeous phone. I'm not crazy about the button positioning, but you get used to it. The reason it was the right choice is that HTC, with an unlocked bootloader, it's easy to root. I don't know. Yours doesn't come rooted, but it's easy to root, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you could put any ROM on it you want, including, and I'll show you a little later on, my favorite ROM. I put, because I've rooted this, the Google Experience ROM is available for both the Galaxy S4 and the One. So I put the Google Experience on there, and after a while I thought, I kind of miss Sense, so I went back to Sense. But the point is, you have the choice. And, in fact, I have both Sense on here and the Google Edition. Tomorrow, I might reboot and go into a Google Edition. I could do both. So that's kind of
You can add Sense to a senseless phone?
No.
No, oh. that's the thing. So I'm not going to be able to. I wouldn't be able to go to Sense.
Oh, Judy, you can.
Wait a minute. I don't know, and that's what I'm going to show you. So that may not be the case.
Okay.
But let's get Jeff's number of the week, and we'll talk about it.
Truth is, my number was, I don't have much time to go and I can't even have a waffle before I have to get on Twig, so I didn't have a lot of time to get numbers. But I found this moderately interesting. Somewhat obvious. Have I given enough caveats now? Nelson Matos, who's the emerging markets VP for Google, said straight out, and if you think about this, it makes sense, but he said straight out that the next billion people online will not speak English.
Wow.
Full stop.
Wow.
And so Google's growth is going to come, for example, this was a Times of India story, so they were saying it's going to come from the native languages of India.
Wow.
Vernacular languages.
Isn't that interesting?
They're going to drive growth there. And you think about it that way, that's a rather sobering way for us English-speaking folks to look at it. And I'm here at a conference where people are speaking, you know, five languages. It's just unbelievable, and I'm this stupid American who speaks 1.1. And they all said to me, hey, you got the one to speak, man. If you speak that, everybody speaks that. It's okay. But Google can't rely on that. And so the fact that none of the billion will speak English just sobered me up a bit. Gives us a place in the world.
Are you learning, what is it, Urdu? Are you learning something?
I can't stand is genders. Because I'm a genderless guy, you know. No, I can't stand, because my brain just is not der, die, das, la.
Some nouns are feminine and some nouns are masculine.
Cannot do it. Those synapses were not exercised. So I say to people who are speaking Dutch, well, I hear you don't quite have that. They say, oh, no, but there's all these other complications. You don't want to do it. It's really complicated.
Well, there you go. We're just going to have to stick with English. I think English will not lose its ascendancy, I hope. I pray.
No. For my stupidity's sake.
So I think this will work on your Google Edition phone, Gina.
Okay, talk to me.
So
this
is what I've been doing. So, yeah, because it's nice to have the choice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I bought an AT&T HTC One. And, of course, the nice thing is HTC, if you go to their dev site, lets you unlock the bootloader, and then it's a trivial thing to root it. So once you've rooted it, you could put any ROM you want. Immediately, as soon as the Google Edition started coming out and enough people had it, people were sucking the ROM off. The same thing with the Galaxy S4, and you could make a Google Edition phone out of any HTC One. I think you can go the other way, too. And what I would recommend, the site I'd recommend is trickdroid.org. There are a number of people who make Sense ROMs. These guys make a Sense ROM as well as a Google Edition ROM. So you can get the Google Edition ROM here if you have an HTC One, a rooted HTC One, and get stock Android. I put 422 on there all day yesterday, and it was nice. I'm not sure I buy the argument that somehow because Google did it, it's a better UI than what, say, Samsung or HTC or somebody else is doing. They also, though, have an HTC Sense ROM that is much, you know, they have some nice improvements in it, and it's 4.2.2. Here in the U.S., we still are at 4.1.2 on the HTC One. I'm pretty sure that as long as you've rooted it, that you can put TrickDroid 8 on, and that's what I've got on here. And so then you get all the benefits of Sense, and you get choice. Now, what's funny is I, you know, the reason that I didn't really care about the Google edition is because I use Nova Launcher. You use Nova Launcher, right?
I don't. I use, I'm just vanilla.
You don't need to. But if you use Nova Launcher, this looks just like vanilla 422.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't, there's not, and right, this is Sense.
Extras.
With a few extras. Right, this is Sense.
Right.
So,
right.
And then I like, there's a few things. Like, I like to have multiple docs so I can scroll through my docs. There's
oh, that's nice.
I can do this. I can swipe up for Google search. I can tap this for Google Now. There's a few things you can do with Nova Launcher. So I'm pretty sure, I'd be curious, but I believe TrickDroid will work on your Google Edition phone. And if you have a non-Google Edition HTC One, they also have the Google Edition ROM. So what I did is I downloaded both. And I just,
okay.
I reboot, and if I could choose. It's a dual boot phone.
You have a dual boot phone.
I have a dual boot
phone.
That's
what I want. I don't want to have to choose one or the other. So no. I can dual boot.
Exactly.
Yeah, because I would like to compare the two. I don't necessarily think that Google has the best Android UI, but like as an Android developer, it's in my interest
to be really close to what Google
thinks is the best Android UI. So like even the fact that the buttons on the HTC One aren't in the right order, they're not the Nexus Experience buttons, they're not like the recommended order of buttons, like that bothered me a little bit. I was kind of like, oh, this is, you know. But the GS4 has the menu button, which you love, right, Leo?
I like a physical button, although I've gotten used to this HTC. And once you overload the two buttons, there's only two buttons at the bottom, capacitive buttons at the bottom of the HTC. Once you overload them, though, they do everything you want. So I'm completely happy, and you still get a the overflow menu, the dot dot dot. You haven't given that up.
The overflow shows up in the action bar versus
on the
bottom right.
Yeah, it shows up where it's supposed to. So right up here, right.
Right up there, yeah.
But I can also press, and I think I can't remember what I've assigned it to, but did that do it? Anyway, I can press and hold. I can't remember. But you have all the functionality plus is the point.
Yeah, very nice.
And it's dual boot. TrickDroid has both ROMs, the Google Edition ROM and a Sense, very up-to-date Sense. It's the European 422 version. And I think, I'm pretty sure.
I might play around with this. I go back and forth. Part of me is like, do I really want to dual boot my phone and maintain two setups and have to update my apps and both and, you know, whatever. But I might just play around with this just to get a sense of.
That's the other thing. That's the other thing. The first time you install them, you probably should wipe it. But after that, I just wipe the cache. I do not wipe all the data, so I don't have to reinstall apps. That's probably approved.
But if you're booted up into the Google Edition and app updates come down from the Play Store,
they stay there.
But then you reboot into the Sense Edition. Don't you have to update those apps again? Only
maybe the Google apps, because the Google apps are built into the ROM. The other apps don't get wiped out.
Oh, so it's just accessing the apps. Oh, that's nice. That's
I'm
really
pretty
nice.
Sure. Don't quote me on that one.
I think
you should wipe the cache, and I do wipe the cache, but I do not do a full wipe.
Okay.
I should try it
okay.
right now. Anyway, it's great. And you get a dual boot phone, which is fabulous. And then the best of both worlds.
Who doesn't want a dual boot phone?
Yeah, and I think the Sense camera app is great. Although, and this is another tip, because of the Google Edition coming out, you can now download an APK of the Google camera, the Google Edition camera, the stock camera, and stock gallery, and put that on your phone. So if you don't like Samsung's crappy camera, you can have both. It becomes a separate app. So more choice, right?
Yeah,
that's what we want.
More choice.
In the Play Store, I bet.
I don't know if it'll show up in the Play Store. The keyboard has and CloudPrint has, right? But I don't know if they'll put...
Yeah, the keyboard has, CloudPrint has... Yeah, yeah.
I have to say, Stock Gallery is the best gallery. That I will grant you. It is really much better.
And that's saying something. That means there's a lot of room for innovation.
I know, because it's very simple. But it's fast.
It's very, very simple. Yeah. And sometimes it's just kind of slow. And I don't know. I feel like there are always times when
Samsung's gallery is the worst.
Is it?
Yeah. But now you're going to get the Sense Gallery. And you could have both, by the way. Both can run. You don't have to choose one or the other in that case. The Sense Gallery does have all that, those, you know, the highlights and the Zoes and all of that stuff.
Right.
So you kind of want the Sense Gallery. But you can have both. All right, I think we're done. We're done talking hacking phones. That's really a conversation for All About Android. That's where you'll find Gina Trapani every Tuesday. She's here every Wednesday. And, of course, smarterware.org, thinkup.com, todotext.com. She's a very busy person.
Yeah, 2.0 this week. We did a big overhaul of the todotext user interface. There were hot debates about where buttons should be and what should be in the overflow menu and what shouldn't. And a much simpler interface. So check it out. todotext.com.
You'll find Jeff Jarvis all over the world. If it's Wednesday, he must be in Belgium.
I'm off a day.
The movie was, if it's Tuesday, this must be Belgium. He will be in Rome, then back to Belgium, then to London, and then we'll see him next week right here.
Yes, we hope. So United Airlines willing.
God and United Airlines willing. BuzzMachine.com is his blog. His book, Public Parts, is available everywhere. You must read that. And don't forget his Amazon single, Gutenberg the Geek. A very fun read. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Gina. Thank you for joining us. We do This Week in Google every Wednesday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 2100 UTC on twit.tv. Watch live if you can. You can join us in the chat room, talk back, yell, and all that stuff. But if you can't watch live, we always have on-demand audio and video of all of our shows available at our website. In this case, just go straight to twit.tv/TWIG. You'll find it right there. Thanks to our producer, Chad Johnson, who's put together all the stories.
Hey, Chad.
Runs the board and does all the great work. It really, Chad does 90% of the work. I just show up and sit in the chair. Thank you, Chad. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time on This Week in Google.